This past April, an unlikely bipartisan group of U.S. senators held a press conference. They'd come together to announce legislation that would scale back some of the harshest sentences on the books for nonviolent drug offenders.
The legislation that we have before us represents more than 3 years of work on criminal justice reform and months of bipartisan negotiation.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, a Democrat, stood alongside Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah.
I support this not in spite of my status as a conservative Republican, but because of it.
It was a political moment that would have been unthinkable a generation ago, starting in 1971, when President Nixon officially launched the war on drugs.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one in the United States, the problem of dangerous drugs.
As the drug war was rolled out, Republican and Democratic politicians alike agreed that prison time, implementing three strikes laws and mandatory minimum sentences, was the best way to get drugs off the street. The federal prison population went up by 800% since 1980, and most of those inmates were sent away on drug offenses. You probably know that story, because lately we're hearing lots of politicians, police chiefs, public health experts tell us those policies were mistaken, that they did more harm than good. And here we are in New Hampshire, where an opioid epidemic took 400 lives last year, and where, just this week, politicians are proposing mandatory minimum sentencing, reminiscent of the 1980s, especially when we're talking about the drug fentanyl. Everything, including life sentences for drug dealers, seems to be on the table. Here's Republican Mayor of Manchester, Ted Gatsis, who's running for governor, proposing policies on Wednesday.
If you are caught dealing fentanyl, the charge is attempted murder. If you can be linked to an overdose death, the charge is murder without the possibility of parole.
And this month, Senator Kelly Ayotte proposed an amendment to the defense bill that would have increased the mandatory minimum sentence for possession of fentanyl. Here she is speaking to us by phone on Thursday.
I want to make sure that we're treating this with the seriousness that it should be.
Ayotte's amendment would have given someone caught possessing 0.1 grams of fentanyl mixed with 1.9 grams of some other substance an automatic, mandatory 5-year prison sentence. 10 years if it was their second offense, life without parole if it was their third offense. And though that amendment wasn't considered in the end, Ayotte says her push to increase prison time for having fentanyl is overdue.
When I think about the high-level dealers, those who, whether it's trafficking 400 grams of heroin or the equivalent of fentanyl, I mean, that's a high-level offense. If that much, you're beyond your use or beyond just the use of you or a friend or something. So I think it depends on the nature of the offense in terms of how severe the sentencing should be.
But that idea that there's some bright line between the people who use drugs and the people who deal them is what led politicians down this road of a failed drug war in the first place, says advocates like Molly Gill of the national group Families Against Mandatory Minimums.
These laws have totally failed, and to keep doing more of the same is just a waste of taxpayer dollars and human lives.
As Gill points out, while mandatory minimum sentencing was designed to put kingpins and high-level drug traffickers in prison, the surge in prison population in the 80s and 90s actually came from low and mid-level drug criminals getting sent away by the thousands.
When we've had mandatory minimum sentences for 30 years and you have a heroin epidemic at the end of 30 years, that to me is the biggest indictment of mandatory sentencing that there is.
Whenever politicians debate a drug crisis, there's this tension between seeing drugs as a public health issue to treat and a crime to punish. As Senator Ayotte has pushed to up prison sentences for fentanyl, she's also pushed forward a major bill in the U.S. Senate called the Comprehensive Treatment and Recovery Act. When Ted Gatsis talks about locking up drug dealers for life, it's right after he's declared the opioid crisis a public health emergency. So the question is, as New Hampshire works to fight this opioid crisis, are lawmakers heading back down a road of mandatory prison sentences and surging levels of arrests, even as one poll showed the vast majority of New Hampshire voters are against that kind of sentencing?
The chair calls the member from Seabrook, Representative Abenson, to speak against the rule suspension.
Just yesterday in the New Hampshire State House, Republican Representative Max Abramson of Seabrook was one of the members who opposed the program, Granite Hammer.
And in 50 years, every time we have stepped up the war on drugs, crime has gotten worse.
But the program, also backed by Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan, passed, sending an additional $1.5 million toward police departments battling the drug crisis, putting more officers on the streets, and more drug dealers and users in jail. The program, already in place in Manchester, reported 94 arrests alone in 1 month. For NHPR News, I'm Natasha Haverty.